23. His name, Provoni said into his microphone, is Morgo Ron Wilk. I want to talk to you about him in detail. First this. He is ancient. He is telepathic. He is my friend. Nick walked away from the TV set, went into the bathroom, and got some pills down from the cabinet. He chose a pair of phenmetrazine hydrochloride tablets, swallowed them, then added one 25-milligram tablet of chlordiazepoxide hydrochloride. His hands, he discovered, were shaking. He had trouble holding the glass of water, and then he had trouble getting the pills down. At the door of the bathroom, Charlie appeared.
I need something. What do you recommend?
Phenmetrazine and chlordiazepoxide, he said. 50 milligrams of the former, 25 of the latter.
That's swellers and shrinkers together, she said.
But a good combination. The chlordiazepoxide intensifies the capacity of the cerebral cortex, while the phenmetrazine stimulates the thalamus, giving a general overall brain metabolism boost. Nodding, she took the pills which he recommended. Shaking his head, Ed Woodman entered the bathroom, took several pills from the rows of bottles.
Wow, he said. They just can't kill him. He just won't die. And that thing eats energy. They're just pumping it full of juice every passing second, the stupid bastards. He'll be the size of Brooklyn in another half hour. It's like pumping up an infinitely large balloon with no popping point.
On the TV, Thor's Provoni was saying, I never saw his world. He met me in deep space. He was on patrol and picked up automatic radio signals my ship was emanating. There in deep space, he rebuilt my ship, consulting telepathically with his brothers on Frolics 8. He was given permission to accompany me back here. He is only one of many. I think he can do what we must do. If he can't, there are 100 more like him, waiting 1 light-year away, in ships capable of passing through by hyperspace, so if necessary, they could be here in a very short time.
Now there he's bluffing, Ed Woodman said. If they can travel through hyperspace, Provoni and this thing would have done so. As it is, they came through regular space, but using a Super C drive, of course.
But, Nick said, he used his ship, the Gray Dinosaur. Their ships might be built for hyperspace. Dinosaur isn't.
Then you believe him? Elka asked.
Yes, Nick said.
I believe him, Ed Woodman said. But he is a showman. This business of appearing 8 hours before expected, it threw everybody off, and was undoubtedly deliberate. And he's been standing there letting them laser him with billions of volts of power. And his friend, Morgo something, he's got him out invisible to impress us, he added acidly. And I am impressed.
Charlie went to the living room window, opened it, leaned out and yelled,
Hey! You all gonna eat up New York? Don't y'all do that, you hear?
She closed the window, her face expressionless.
That ought to throw them off, Nick said.
New York is my hometown, Charlie said.
Abruptly, she pressed her fingers against her forehead.
I felt something, like a sweep, a probe, passing through me and leaving.
Acutely, in an instant of instinctive insight, Nick said, He's looking for new men.
Oh, God, Elka moaned. I just felt it. Just for an instant. He is looking for new men. What's he going to do with them? Snuff them? Do they deserve that? They never snuffed us.
Denny, Charlie said, and me. Very nearly. They almost took a shot at me in the federal building. And they sent assassins to snuff Nick. If you, what's the word, extrapolate from that... It's a high average, Nick said. And Corden, he said to himself. Shot, probably. We'll never really know. Just that he's dead. Does Provoni know yet? He wondered. God help us, he may go berserk. Over the TV audio circuit, Provoni said, Monitoring Earth's transmissions, we learned of Eric Corden's death. His massive face retracted, as if retreating into itself with pain. Within an hour, we'll know the circumstances. The actual ones, not those transmitted over the media. And we will,
He paused. Nick thought, he's conferring with the alien.
We will...
Again, he paused.
Time will tell,
he said at last, cryptically, his great head bent downward, his eyes shut. A convulsive shudder passed across his features, as if he were trying with difficulty, great difficulty, to regain control of himself.
Willis Graham, Nick said. That's who did it.
That's where the order came from.
Provoni knows that. He knows where to look.
That snuffing is going to color everything that happens from now on. Everything Provoni does, says, what his friend does. It dooms the ruling circles. I think Provoni is the kind of man who...
You don't know what effect the alien may have had on him, Ed pointed out. It may moderate Provoni's bitterness and hatred.
To Elka, he said, when it probed your mind, did it seem cruel, hostile, destructive? She pondered, then glanced at Charlie. Charlie shook her head no.
I don't think so, Elka said. It was just so strange. And it was looking for something it didn't find in me, so it went on. It only took a fraction of a second.
Can you imagine that thing, Nick said, probing minds by the hundreds, maybe thousands, all at once? Ed said quietly,
maybe millions.
In that short time? Nick asked. Charlie, irritably, said,
I feel lousy. I feel like my period is coming on. I'm going to lie down.
She disappeared into the bedroom. The door shut after her.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lincoln, Ed Woodman said. I just don't have time right now to listen to the notes you've made for your Gettysburg address.
His face was harsh and sardonic, and he had flushed a dark, furious red. Nick said, she's afraid. That's why she's gone in there. It's too much for her. Isn't it too much for you, really? Aren't you taking it in intellectually, but emotionally it really isn't registering? I see the screen, I know what I'm seeing, but... He gestured. Only the frontal lobe of my brain comprehends what I see. And hear. He walked to the bedroom door, opened it slightly. She lay on the bed, at an odd angle. Her face turned to one side, eyes wide open. Nick shut the door after him, came over slowly, seated himself on the edge of the bed.
I know what it's going to do, she said.
Do you?
Yes.
She nodded expressionlessly.
It's going to replace portions of their minds and then withdraw, leaving nothing. A vacuum. They'll be living hollow shells, like a lobotomy. Do you remember that from school? Reading about the insane psychiatric practices of the 20th century? Debrained. That's what they, the doctors, made people. That thing will remove the nodes of Roger and more. It won't stop with just making them like us. It hasn't affected Provoni. He's convinced it.
How do you know that? Nick asked.
Well, it's not a long story. 2 years ago, I forged a set of G2 completed tests, showing satisfactory results. So, for a time, I had access to government records, and one time, just for the hell of it, I asked for info on Provoni, the so-called Provoni file, and I sneaked it home, under my coat. It was mostly microfilm, and I sat up all night reading it.
She explained,
I read very slowly.
And he's like that? Vengeful?
He's obsessed. He's what Corden wasn't. Corden was a rational man, a rational political figure who happened to be living in a society where no dissent is allowed. In another society, he would have been a major statesman. But Provoni...
10 years may have changed him, Nick pointed out. Alone most of that time, there must have been a good deal of introspection and self-analysis during those years.
Couldn't you hear it today, just now?
No, he said truthfully.
I got fired from the job and fined 350 pops, and that gave me a criminal record, which I've added to.
She was silent for a moment.
Denny, too. He fell a few times.
She lifted her head.
Go back and watch the TV, please. If you don't, I'll go in there and I really can't, so you go, okay?
Okay, he said. He left the bedroom, turned his attention to the TV set. Is she right? He asked himself. About Provoni? What sort of man he is? That's not what we've heard. Heard from the undermen presses. If she felt that way, How could she be a Cordonite, distributing and selling his pamphlets? But they were Cordon's pamphlets, he reflected. Maybe she liked him enough to overcome her distrust of Provoni. In the name of God, he thought, I hope she's wrong about what they intend to do to the new men. Lobotomize them, all of them, 10 million, including the unusuals, like Willis Graham. Something swept into his mind, a wind like that of hell. He clapped his hands to his forehead, bent over in pain? Not pain, more a sort of strange sense, that of peering down into a great dark pit and then very slowly beginning to tumble, slow motion, into it. The feeling abruptly departed.
I just got scanned, he said shakily. How'd it feel?
Elka asked. Nick said, He showed me the universe empty of stars. I never want to see it again as long as I live. Ed Woodman said,
Listen, on the 10th floor of this building, a low-order new man lives, apartment BB293KC. I'm going down there, he headed for the door. Anyone want to come? Maybe just you, Nick.
I'll come, Nick said. He followed after Ed Woodman, caught up with him in the silent, carpeted hall.
He's probing, Ed said as they reached the elevator and pressed the button.
He indicated all the apartment doors, the rows and rows of them that filled this one building.
Behind every one of those doors, he's probing. God knows what it's like for some of them. That's why I want to see this new man, Marshall, I think his name is. G5, he told me once. So you can see he's small fry. That's why he's in a building filled mostly with old men.
The elevator came. They entered and descended.
Listen, Appleton, Ed said. I'm afraid. I got probed too, but I didn't say anything. He's looking for something, and he didn't find it in the four of us. But elsewhere he may find it, and I want to know what he does when he finds it.
The elevator stopped. They stepped into the hall.
This way, Woodman said,
striding rapidly along. Nick hurried to keep up with him.
BB293KC. I'm going down there.
He headed for the door, came to it, halted. Nick caught up with him.
Ed Woodman knocked.
No answer. He turned the knob. The door opened. Carefully, Ed Woodman pushed the door aside, stood, then moved out of Nick's way. On the floor, cross-legged, sat a slender man with a small black board, dressed in expensive has-hair robes.
Mr. Marshall? Ed Woodman said softly.
The slender, dark man lifted his inflated, balloon-like head. He regarded them, smiling, but he did not speak.
What are you playing with, Mr. Marshall?
Ed Woodman asked, bending down. He turned to Nick.
An electric mixer. He's making the blades turn.
He straightened up.
G5. Approximately 8 times our mental abilities. Anyway, he's not suffering.
Going over, Nick said, Can you talk, Mr. Marshall? Can you say anything to us? How do you feel?
Marshall began to cry. You see, Ed said, he has emotions, feelings, even thoughts, but he can't express them. I've seen people in hospitals after a stroke when they can't talk, can't communicate in any way, and they cry like that. If we leave him alone, he'll be all right.
Together, Nick and Ed left the apartment. The door shut after them.
I need some more pills, Nick said.
Can you suggest anything helpful? Really helpful at this point?
Disipramine hydrochloride, Ed said. I'll give you some of mine. I noticed you don't have any.
They made their way to the elevator and pressed the up button.
We better not tell them, Ed said as they ascended.
They'll know soon anyhow, Nick said. Everyone will know it, if it's happening everywhere.
We're close to Times Square, Ed said. He may be probing in concentric rings. Marshall got it now, but new men in Jersey may not get it until tomorrow.
The elevator halted.
Or the next week. It may take months, and by that time, Amos Ild, it would have to be Ild, can think of something to do.
You want him to? Nick asked as they stepped from the elevator. The light in Ed Woodman's eyes flickered.
That's
hard for you to decide, Nick said, finishing Ed's halting statement.
What about you?
Nick said, I couldn't be more pleased. Together, they walked back to their apartment. Neither man spoke. A wall had settled into place between them. There simply was nothing to talk about, and both men knew it.